Paranormal with Reg.
And Jen.
And Jen. Are you there, Jen?
Yes, how are you?
I'm good.
Great.
Everybody, Jen's in Vegas, so yeah. We actually have Jen on location tonight, which is kind of fun. We had a little IT problems earlier getting her hooked up, but we finally got her going, so she's here with us live from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. How'd your flight go?
A lot of turbulence, actually. A lot of turbulence. I guess all the storms moving through the Midwest, so that part wasn't fun, but we made it here in one piece, so.
All right. Yeah, you got to go through the, what do they call that, the jet stream.
Yes.
And it's been nasty in my neighborhood.
Yes, it was rough.
Hell yeah. We don't like the wind here in the desert. Well, good. So we got y'all ready and, you had a dinner or something tonight, didn't you?
Yes, actually, my husband, the reason we're here is my husband won an award from his company, the President's Award, they call it, for outstanding achievement. So we are treated to 4 days in sunny Las Vegas.
Sweet.
Yes.
I want to win an award that treats me to 4 days in Vegas. I like Vegas.
Yes.
I used to go there a lot on business, but not anymore. Have you checked out any haunted spots over there?
Actually, it's funny you mention that. There seems to be a lot of allegedly haunted locations out here. I've heard about over at the Tropicana Resort and Casino, for instance, there's a large tiki mask at the entrance to the hotel. And it attracts a lot of attention, but you might not want to touch it. According to sources, touching the mask results in a mysterious purple rash.
A purple rash?
Yes. And tourists who have taken photographs in front of the mask complain of a strange purple haze in the air obscuring the photo. So I'm not sure what that's about.
Purple haze, what's his name?
It's Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix is haunting the tiki mask at the Tropicana.
Exactly. Well, and actually down at the Flamingo Hotel, which I can see from my hotel room right as we speak, people claim to see the ghost of notorious gangster Bugsy Siegel.
Builder of Vegas.
Yes, he's been spotted near the pool and the Rose Garden. Of course, he was in charge of construction of the Flamingo Hotel back in 1964, so that's kind of interesting. I'll keep looking out the window to see if I...
Well, that's kind of surprising, isn't it? You would think that Vegas might be haunted more by Bugsy's associates rather than himself.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I know the joke around there always is, you know, if you mess with people, they're going to take you out in the desert and dig a hole.
Well, this would be the place to do it. Well, actually, also at the original MGM Grand, which is now Bally's Hotel and Casino, back in 1980, November of 1980, 84 people died and 679 were injured as a result of a fire. It was the second largest life loss hotel fire in U.S. history, so the location is now said to be haunted by those who died there 26 years ago.
So, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. I mean, if any place could be haunted. You know?
Yeah, burning in a fire. I mean, they always say, you know, hauntings are caused by lots of emotion, and I would think burning in a fire would be the most emotional way to die.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. So that's kind of something I'm interested in. I might run on down there tomorrow. And also at the Nellis Air Force Base, some personnel and civilian mechanics in Building 858 have seen what they describe being a gray figure at night, and they hear footsteps. And this gray figure sometimes hovers 5 feet above the ground, but it can go as high as 20 feet above the ground, and sometimes appears to be more of a ball of light as opposed to a gray figure. So that sounds kind of alien to me. I don't know.
Yeah, that's aliens on furlough from Area 51.
Right?
Yeah, they won't let him in Vegas itself, so they send him over to Nellis to get a little vacation.
Exactly. Well, again,
they
we're
hang out
of
the officer's club.
Yeah. Well, we're in the desert, so hey, anything's possible. So, yeah, a lot of interesting spots out here.
Cause, yeah, I would think Vegas, just, you know, again, going there a lot and knowing some of the history that I do, lots of people get killed in Vegas, even today. I mean, there's probably a guy getting killed tonight, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good point.
You might think those hotels are haunted like crazy.
Especially, yes, especially some of those older ones. Definitely.
Well, we were going to make a part of the show be Reggie's Did You Know, since I'm always the one popping up with funny little useless trivia.
Yes.
So tonight, my Reggie's Did You Know is for Vegas.
Okay.
Liberace is said to haunt Carluccio's, let's see if I can say this right, Carluccio's Tivoli Gardens.
Okay.
It's a Vegas club that he used to own. And employees tell of strange things, like bottles fly off the shelves. My personal favorite is the floating capes.
Floating capes?
If Liberace's going to hunt somewhere, he's, of course, going to float his cape around.
He should have his candelabra, too, though.
And you know, that's the one thing that they didn't talk about. And I wondered that. Was he think I mean, that was his trademark.
Yes.
But the funny thing is, Kelly Stanley was a waitress over there, and she says that he locked her in the toilet. She was making jokes about his obviously flamboyant sexual orientation.
I see.
He locked her in the bathroom. So next time you're in Vegas, you know, head on down to the Tropicana and visit Carlucci's Tivoli Gardens. You might just catch a glimpse of the most flamboyant Vegas showman in history. Or you might just get locked in the bathroom. No gay jokes there. They
yes,
but a gay ghost that will haunt you.
That's funny.
But I've always been a big Liberace fan, so I for sure want to go check that
yes,
out.
Yes, I actually saw something about that on television once. I don't remember what show it was, but they had interviewed staff, and they're just quite used to the phenomena. They don't think anything of it now. You know,
I would think, just again, knowing what I do about Liberace, if there's anybody that's going to come back to haunt people so he can get some attention, that mm-hmm. would be the man.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
He was the biggest attention whore on the planet. I swear to God.
Yeah, well, that was his personality. That's true. That's true.
Good show, though.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Man knew how to put on a show.
Well, Ashley, it's about that time for the Absolutely Paranormal News, covering the weird, strange, and just plain out-of-this-world events that you all want to know about.
Russian ufologists say they will teach you where to look for extraterrestrials and what to do when you find them. Researchers in Togliatti, Central Russia, are attempting to take advantage of the recent commotion after crop circles appeared last summer, causing paranormal pilgrims to flock to the area.
Hmm.
Togliatti Ufology Commission Chairwoman Tatiana Markova says they have studied all of the local UFO spots and have even filmed frequent visits to the city by various alien craft, including the Belgium Triangles. So now they've built a school where they hold lectures on basic UFO watching techniques and what to do if you encounter aliens.
Hmm.
In late April, it's out to the countryside for some practical experience as the students check out all the local hotspots to see what they have learned. But if you attend, Markov warns, we are not going to take crowds of amateurs to UFO sighting spots just to satisfy their curiosity. We expect newcomers to extend our UFO sightings map.
Okay, well, first-time novelist Christina Barber has woven the legends and rumors surrounding the historic Greystone Psychiatric Hospital in New Jersey into what she hopes is a blockbuster mystery entitled Greystone. In the novel, a psychologist whose own father was murdered while working there agrees to help save the historical site from destruction, only to find horrifying truths and inhuman atrocities surround her father's death. Are the ghosts that haunt her now leading her to the same fate as her father? Greystone is in bookstores right now.
Hundreds of sightings of a ghost ship in Australia have caused quite an uproar after being the second reported ghost ship in as many years to plague the land down under. However, there is nothing supernatural about these ships. It's only an abandoned tanker that has finally become a navigational hazard in Australian shipping lanes and may soon share the fate of its sister ghost ship, which was sunk almost 2 years ago to create an artificial reef.
Hmm. Well, next time you're out Bigfoot hunting, Reg, you might want to leave your cell phone behind. Kong Nam Choi, 38, who loves jungle trekking near his home in Kampung Lakut, Malaysia, claims to have watched as a Johor Bigfoot paused for a short break while hiking down a hill. Fearing an elephant, Kong claims he hid behind some bushes after hearing a loud noise in the jungle. He says he then watched as a 10-foot-tall human-like creature covered in long black fur and crouching like an old man emerged from the bush to sit on a log and rub its face. Hiding only 100 feet away, Kong said he could clearly make out the creature's bushy eyebrows and long incisors. Shaking with fear, Kong still stepped out with his camera to grab a few candid once-in-a-lifetime shots just as his cell phone went off. Kong panicked, fearing an attack now that he was discovered, But the creature simply looked over, got up, and wandered back into the jungle. And since the sighting, Kong has been busy escorting film crews, government officials, and Bigfoot researchers to the location to investigate and collect plaster casts of the creature's footprints.
Well, Jen, Kong Nam Choi thought he heard an elephant in the jungle and found a Bigfoot instead. But a paleontologist in Scotland says you might just find an elephant when looking for the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
Neil Clark, curator of paleontology at the Hunterian Museum in Glasgow, thinks the sudden increase in Loch Ness Monster sightings in the mid-1930s was nothing more than an underhanded marketing ploy by an ambitious circus owner. It is quite possible that people not used to seeing a swimming elephant, the vast bulk of the animal is submerged, with only a thick trunk and a couple of humps visible, thought they saw a monster, says Clark, who openly admits his theory doesn't explain away the legends dating back to the 6th century, or the many reported sightings of a creature in the loch before and after the 30s. But he does find it odd that a rather large influx of monster reports describing humps and a long neck come immediately after the early 1933 opening of Road A82, which runs right alongside the lake and was often used by a traveling circus to water and rest their animals. Clark also finds it extremely suspicious that in late 1933, at the height of the monster sightings, circus owner Bertram Mills offered a large reward of £20,000, equivalent to about $1.8 million today, to anyone who could capture the monster for his circus. Clark says Mills could offer such a huge sum because it was one of his own African elephants who was posing as Nessie, and he knew he would never have to pay up.
Well, the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot are names recognized in households worldwide, but if some residents of West Virginia's Point Pleasant are successful, there's another name that may soon be on that list, the Mothman. Sightings of a large winged creature with red glowing eyes started in the late 1960s, coinciding with many strange happenings in the Point Pleasant area, including some saucer-like unidentified flying objects, and climaxing with the collapse of the Silver Bridge in December 1967 that killed 46 people. Point Pleasant resident Jeff Wamsley, who has written two books on the Mothman phenomenon and helps to organize the annual Mothman Festival, recently decided to open a museum about the infamous creature. The collection includes news clippings and props from the set of the 2002 movie The Mothman Prophecies, which starred Richard Gere. Wamsley said, "We have everything from the telephones that Richard Gere used in the hotel scene to the napkin holders used in the diner set. The collection is massive, and it seems to really grab visitors' attention. In addition to the props, we have all sorts of private collections and archives, really rare stuff that helps tell the Mothman story." The museum also features a media center with never-before-seen footage, as well as popular TV shows and documentaries featuring the Mothman. There are also several maps with pins marking areas throughout Mason County where sightings of the winged creature have been reported, as well as the death list, which draws connections between the sudden or strange deaths of those associated in some way with the Mothman legend. Could the Mothman visit his own museum? Todd Wiseman, a Mothman museum worker and Ohio University film student, said he believes a creature similar to the Mothman still exists in the area and notes the museum has received several reports of sightings.
Wow. Well, some homebuyers are going crazy over condos at former asylums. Many old state mental hospitals are being eyed for residential development.
Ooh.
The ominous Danvers State Hospital in Massachusetts is being transformed into nearly 500 luxury apartments. The state institution was once called the scariest building in the world and is rumored to be haunted by the ghosts of former patients. Developer Scott Dale says the notoriety will probably help sales. And in New York City, the site of the old lunatic asylum is now home to the 500-unit octagon apartments. Rents are 10% higher than expected, with studio apartments starting at $1,700 a month.
Wow. Okay. A former B.G. Robin Gibb is sharing his 12th century home with an unwelcome, spooky guest. The history fanatic claims to be living in his converted monastery home with a ghost who plays pranks on the singer and his family. Robin, who sang lead vocals on Giving Up the Ghost on the band's 1987 album ESP, said it was a place where monks would be trained for the vocation. There's even a resident ghost who mysteriously fills up the water in the old fount in the chapel, which we converted into a dining room. There's also the spooky sound of a clock being wound each night around midnight, in the room where a clockmaker who lived in the house in the 17th century kept his gear. Robin said, "We've done everything to try to find a scientific reason, but there isn't one. The house called Primmendil in Tame Park, Oxfordshire, was built by the theologian Robert Grosseteste in 1241. Elizabeth I stayed there, as did Henry VIII with his wife Anne Boleyn. And the ghost is believed to be that of John the Gardener, who tended the 20-acre estate 500 years ago."
And that's the Absolutely Paranormal News for this April 6th, 2006.
Wow.
Wow. Some interesting news there.
Yes. I'm kind of disappointed with the ghost ship. I was hoping that there was something more to that.
It did cause an uproar. It was like, ghost ship, we keep seeing this ship. But no, it's just a tanker.
Well, and also to create an artificial reef, that's an interesting concept there.
At least they didn't just sink it.
That's true. That's
yeah, because they could have just sunk it, but they dragged it over to make a reef. So good for them, because, yeah, lots of crab, maybe.
Yeah, lots of crab.
I like reefs, because they have crabs in them.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Yeah, not that kind. There's a good kind.
Oh, we'll leave that one go.
What is James? For everybody that doesn't know, Jen's husband is actually a Mothman. I don't want to say freak, but
well, it borderlines on that. Yes, that's a safe estimate.
So is he all excited? Are you guys headed over to see the new museum?
Well, yes and no. He tends to think that he tends to not like the commercialization. I will say. His family comes from West Virginia, so I think a lot of that phenomena hits home with him. He has a lot of respect for the area and the people that live there and what they've gone through. He tends to not like the whole, hey, let's make a buck off this kind of thing, but he is familiar with some of the people who are involved in the project, and he has respect for them, but I don't know. I don't know if we'll run over to the museum. Maybe just out of, for curiosity's sake, the statue, I don't know if you know about the statue that they erected, in honor of the Mothman, it's pretty ridiculous looking, in my opinion.
Is that the one that the pictures are going around? Because yeah, it looks kind of.
It looks like something
else. Like the Tick. Has anybody watched The Tick on Comedy Central?
That's a very good analogy. He looks like The Tick. He's very cartoonish, and you know, I mean, granted, nobody's ever taken a good close-up photo of the Mothman, but still, I don't know. I feel like they could have done a little better on it. But, hey, you know, close enough.
Well, I'm wondering about, I did some research last night, and we were writing up the news, and I seem to remember a lot of previous news on the Bigfoot in Malaysia.
Okay.
The weird thing that I found was, in February, the government said, actually, like, in late January, the government said no foreigners.
Right.
Basically, Malaysia has decided that they want to be the place that discovers Bigfoot. They have lots of sightings in their country, so everybody else stay out. They're going to be the ones investigating it.
Okay.
So they printed up 500 permits that run about a buck each for people to go on to the game reserve, but nobody bought them. They sat there with 500 permits expecting a big rush. Like, literally, they opened at 10, waiting for people to come running in, and nobody showed up.
Okay, well,
So now, all of a sudden, they have this big publicity stunt.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, there's questions about whether maybe Kong's sighting is actually just a publicity stunt to get some permits sold. But I still love that story. Imagine thinking there's an elephant coming down on you, you hide from Bigfoot, and then your cell phone goes off.
And it's also kind of funny to read that Kong hides from Bigfoot. That just keeps, I don't know, throwing Kong me off. Kong hides from Bigfoot.
Well, and then there's another one that came out in March,
mm-hmm.
that was, or early March. There is a group over there that claims that they've actually been like, what was the lady, Jane Goodall?
Yes.
Okay, they claim that they're the Bigfoot version of Jane Goodall. They've been living with a colony, or at least one man has been living with a colony of Bigfoot.
Okay.
But of course, it's one of those, we have tons of proof, we're going to post our proof
eventually.
It's
right.
Been a month now, we've still seen no proof. So.
Yeah, but that's a common denominator in this whole, you know, paranormal industry, or the field, I should say, rather. Yeah, we have proof, we'll get it to you eventually. You know, I don't know what that's about.
last summer, there was a thing on Coast to Coast where I forget what his name was. I'm horrible about that. He said that he had actually captured a Bigfoot.
Okay.
And he was selling memberships to his website, you know, to see all the info and get all that for $19.95. Well, he sold like 1,000 of them while he was on Coast to Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, everybody was having a fit because they found out that they didn't really have anything. It was all a miscommunication. They were, like, talking on cell phones, and one guy was in the mountain, and he said, like, we don't have.
Oh, God.
Somebody heard we do have.
Yeah, that seems to happen a lot, too.
So he's supposed to be out, and I wish I could remember that man's name, but he's supposed to be out hunting down Bigfoot as we speak, actually, because he's trying to get his reputation back.
You know, I always, did you ever see Harry and the Hendersons?
Yes.
I always go back to that. I mean, I just, you know, they personified him in that way. Bigfoot has to be this big friendly whatever he is that lives, you know, deep in the woods of Washington State, and he, I don't know, I guess I just like to think of him that way, kind of.
I think if I was Bigfoot, I would not be big and friendly.
Big and friendly.
If I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof, you know, I'd be chasing people out of my, get out of here.
Well, is Bigfoot supposed to be the equivalent of Yeti, who, you know, lives in the snowy regions? Is he the same thing? Well, family?
That's another interesting thing about Bigfoot. Like, we don't want to spend the whole show on Bigfoot, but Bigfoot is all over, it seems, right?
Yeah.
'Cause I know, I mean, I've been following all the sightings in Oklahoma, and
right.
I actually debated with a guy a while back that's taking out M16s to hunt Bigfoot in Oklahoma.
Gosh. That's great.
And we have them in Malaysia, and we have them. So, yeah, if it was an undiscovered creature that lives all over the planet, you would think that would just increase the chances that he would be discovered.
Right.
And yet, here we are 100 years later, and every few weeks somebody brings up a Bigfoot sighting, but nobody's ever been able to actually, like, you know, track him.
No, it's just that original footage back in, what was that, the 60s? 70s? That you know, 45-second video clip
that you always see
of him walking past, you know?
And
that's kind
of course, the skeptics say it's a guy in a suit.
Well, of course. Who knows?
Definitely him.
Maybe one day we'll figure it out.
Well, I want to get on to what we were really going to talk about tonight.
Okay.
Everybody get ready. We're going to start with something big.
Get ready.
As you know, this is absolutely paranormal, where we attempt to discover if something is absolutely paranormal or if it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows that one of my biggest ones is Derek Acora.
Ah, yes.
His new show's out, and they've got two episodes so far.
Okay.
I do have to, full disclosure, I have not seen the episodes.
Okay.
I'm kind of boycotting the show because I'm pretty sure that now I don't believe in Derek Acora. But what I did get is some people sent me a link to a website called Double Exposure. And if anybody wants to watch this video, just go to absolutelyparanormal.com. And it's the first story right there, and it's got the links. So you guys can follow along with us here.
We should also say that Derek Acora, for those who might not be familiar with his name, is the psychic featured on Most Haunted, the group out of England.
Actually, he left Most Haunted now.
Okay, he was with Most Haunted.
He was with Most Haunted.
Originally,
now
yeah.
He's doing a show called Ghost Towns
right.
Live. I was excited. Ghost Towns Live sounds like it might be fun.
Right, right.
Okay. They've got this one thing that they do where they are running around. They call it, let me pop that up, doorstep divination. I can't
okay.
say that word. Can you say that word?
Doorstep divination?
Is that it? Divination? Is that
well, divination is the right word, yeah.
Okay, I got it right.
Okay.
They're doing doorstep divination, and they claim Living TV, of course, producers of that show, using only his psychic abilities to guide him to a particular house in York, he will use his skills as a medium to give one lucky recipient a reading.
Hmm.
Well, we've got off-air footage now, which I love. If anybody has any off-air footage, please send it to me, because I love that stuff. It's all TV. I hope nobody sues me for slander or whatever, but they start out their show with the big giant letters that say paranormal entertainment, take them to heart.
I
hate to say it because I do believe some people have psychic abilities, but I don't think Derek Acora does, and I'm going to back it up, of course, because that's how I am. So we'll go down through the list here. They told the audience, this is great. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, this is ingenious. We're going to York.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to drive around York, and Derek will wait for Sam, his spirit guide, to give him an idea of where to go.
Okay, fair enough.
However, if you want us to come to your house, you have to download a poster and put it in your front window.
Okay.
So that we know that, you know, I mean, it's live television, so they don't want to show up to the grumpy hermit.
Well, that's true.
So everybody went, you know, a lot of people went out and got their posters and put them up in the thing. Everybody excited. This show's a big hit in the UK. They love it.
Oh, yeah.
So they said that they would drive around, you know. But they didn't drive around. I'm actually going to read the transcript right now. Debbie, his personal assistant, I guess, or producer. He had the blonde girl on his other show that was mm-hmm. like right-hand lady.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a different blonde girl that actually looks a lot like the old one, but
oh, okay.
different lady. She tells him, and again, you can go to the website, absolutelyparanormal.com, click on the link, watch the clip yourself, because don't take my word for it. She says, so we're just going to look up the street to see what you're feeling, yeah? Personally, if it was me, I'd say that one there, and she points to the house they're right in front of, that's got the picture in the window with you, that would be really helpful. Then they both giggle. Derek says, won't they see it? He's kind of whispering to her in the video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, won't they see it? And she says, no, all right. And he says, yeah. So they go up to the first house that they're standing. They didn't drive around anywhere, wait for Sam. They just walked up to the house. And they go inside, and they talk to the lady. And it says, you know, the whole point of the thing was that no one from ghost towns will know. Nobody's going to come to your house beforehand. And yet they're going in there, and she says, if she says it's okay. Now, people like me are wondering, how did they know it was a she?
Yeah, good point.
Actually, her name's Daniela. That's it. It's not Debbie. It's Daniela. Daniela isn't psychic, doesn't claim to be psychic. How did she know it was a girl? So we're all kind of wondering.
Hmm. Well, maybe Derek rubs off on people, you know.
Maybe he knew. Yeah, maybe he just rubbed off on her and he's losing his... thing. Well, then he goes in, and of course, again, I believe that Derek Acora is simply entertaining. So he goes in and he starts doing his little thing, and the woman is like, no.
Oh, no.
He says, Mary? And they said, well, maybe that's my friend's mother's sister. Lily, maybe, you know, and then he goes into John, and maybe it's not John, maybe it's Jack.
Grasping at straws.
So that one, you know, they kind of get the heck out of that place as quickly as possible. But then we go to night two, which is my favorite. Night two was in Multiangular Tower and Museum Gardens. And the thing about this town, I can't find the name of the town. It's not York, I don't think. Oh, yes, it is York. They're still in York.
Okay.
York was taken over by the Romans a long time ago, and there was actually a Jewish massacre that occurred there. So what does Derek pick up on? Of course he picks up on Roman soldiers and one guy standing off to the side, you know, like the leader, right?
Okay,
now here's where I need your help,
because all right.
You're better at saying things than I am. The guy that they decided it was the Roman general who completed the conquest of Britain way back in 78 and 84,
mm-hmm.
right after Jesus died.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Gnaeus, I can't pronounce it, I didn't take Latin, Gnaeus Julius, and if you read it, with a modern view, it says Agricola. That's what Derek said, was Agricola.
Okay.
We're all wondering if he actually heard anything or if he just said it, because I actually called my friend who took Latin, and she says it wouldn't be Agricola. It would be Agricola.
Okay.
Right? It's a Roman name.
Hmm.
So there's yet another nail in the coffin.
Well, you know, it's so hard with him anyway. I have to admit, it's hard for me to understand him sometimes. Just because he's so fervent, and his accent is obviously strong.
He does have the big accent.
He's got the big accent. But yeah, he seems to be, to me, the most specific psychic. He focuses on things that I've never heard any other, you know, psychic be that specific, I'll say. He doesn't generalize, but how do I, you know, I have no way necessarily of authenticating what he's saying, at least not immediately.
See, this is what I love. I love the internet, everyone. I love the internet because suddenly
internet.
We have, you know, all of the world's knowledge at us. The guy that I'm looking at his website, he did the same exact thing. Derek used the word, he said it was he was possessed, okay? You know, he gets possessed every show.
Every
so
episode.
He got possessed this show.
That must get old after a while.
He got possessed by a man named Xavier.
Okay.
And he said that Xavier was slaughtered. Okay, this is where, you know, like you said, if psychics don't get specific.
Right.
Sometimes there's a reason you don't get specific. A man named Xavier was slaughtered on the orders of Agricola, which actually sounds delicious. And then he ran around on all fours and hid in a hole or something.
Okay.
He was running around like a dog.
Hmm.
Well, this guy went and did a little research on the name. The name Xavier did not exist.
Did not
when
exist.
When Agricola was around.
Ooh.
It was not used as the given name, and again, I wish somebody would confirm me on this, because I did do a little research, but I couldn't really find any confirmation. The name was not a popular name until after the canonization of St. Francisco Xavier.
That makes sense. Okay.
Almost 1,700 years after.
Wow.
This Xavier, you know, was supposed to be around.
Well, and that's valid, because I think one issue with him is you have us people who are just, you know, mesmerized at the notion that this man gets possessed all the time and he has all this knowledge. How many people bother to actually research what he's saying? We take it as word because it's so typically the places that he's investigating, especially in England, have such historic significance. We don't know what that is. You know, we just, oh, okay, you must be right.
Exactly. And you know, Derek makes me mad, or actually not Derek, but his show and the whole Living TV.
Right.
I get upset for two main reasons. One, I'm an entertainment guy. I grew up in the entertainment business. If you're going to do entertainment, tell people it's entertainment.
Absolutely.
If you're
going to
do real stuff, tell people it's real stuff.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Then we also go to the other reason, which is kind of the same. If he has psychic abilities, then demonstrate them. Show them to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do something psychic.
Yeah.
But instead, every show he's running around on all fours, possessed by somebody. I think it cheapens the real psychics.
Oh, absolutely.
If somebody's psychic, and the more Derek's you've got running around,
mm-hmm.
then the less seriously everybody is going to take anyone that really does have some sort of ability.
Especially those who choose to charge for their gift. It definitely steals their credibility.
And exactly. I mean, some of these people were trying to earn a living, and we've mm-hmm. got this guy running around basically making us all look like scammers.
Yeah. It does.
And so,
yeah, that's true. It's definitely an issue.
And I'm kind of curious as to why more, you know, psychics and more believers in psychics aren't jumping to it. It seems like everybody's a big fan of this show.
Well,
I haven't found anybody that really isn't a, you know, I sometimes I feel like I'm the only anti-Derek Acorda guy out there, except this other dude that's on the website here.
Actually, don't feel that way. The majority of people I speak to about that show say that they literally do take it as entertainment. They find him entertaining, the fact that he, well, I won't say fact, the notion that he gets possessed all the time. Just the things he says, the places they go, they find him entertaining. I don't think many people, at least people I know, I don't think they take him seriously.
I find it entertaining. That's where I'm kind of caught in a rock and a hard place, because I like watching Derek because he's fun.
Yeah, he is.
But it really makes me mad that he says he's real and that everybody says all this stuff is really happening, and yet I've seen tons of outtakes. We talked last show about how I had that new outtake that he goes off and gets possessed, and then 2 seconds later everybody's giggling saying that was so funny.
Yes, and saying, yes, that pretty much, that's what did it for me, the fact that if he's possessed and we're supposed to believe this, somehow I don't think he could break out of that just because, okay, cut, we go to a commercial. The spirit suddenly says, oh, okay, it's time for me to leave. You know, what's that about?
I gotta go now.
Yeah, it's time for a commercial. I'll possess you in 2 minutes, 2 seconds, you know.
And then we've even got more. We get to the third episode.
Mm-hmm.
And the third episode is actually my favorite because it's fun to watch. I watch the outtakes. Again, he gets possessed, but he actually gets attacked this time. And like you said, with his accent, it's hilarious. They've got me neck! They've got me! Right? And he's flying backwards.
He's been touched.
But now, here's where I kind of question the video that was sent, because there's video from under the table.
Oh, okay.
From a guy that used to make television, I kind of wonder, why would we have a cameraman? I know they've got 4 cameras, but why would we have a camera under the table? Because what you see is you see Derek's feet going around the bottom of the table and gripping it, and then suddenly he's thrown back in his chair and he's being dragged behind him. Well, I can do that too if my ankles are wrapped around the bottom of the table.
Oh, okay.
That's a standard theatrical combat trick, is you support yourself with your ankles and then people can move and, you know, you can look like you're being attacked up above. So that got me. I was like, oh, God, you know, give me a break.
Well, you know, but not only that, they try to, not just Derek, I will say I'm most haunted, but one thing they always did that kind of disturbed me, one episode, they had Most Haunted Live. I don't know if you got to see that. And
I did see part of that one.
You did see part of that? Well, they had this German Shepherd there. And I guess their point was, watch how this German Shepherd suddenly reacts when there was nothing in the room. And then, allegedly, you know, Derek makes this ghost angry or what have you. So this German Shepherd reacts. Well, as a viewer, I can't see what this dog is reacting to. There are no other cameras. There is one camera that is focusing on the dog, and that's it. What's in front of the dog?
Bingo.
You know, and it's not just that episode, but in general, I think these paranormal shows use more than one camera. Don't wonder
why. You know
how
I feel about that. You and I fight about that all the time. Yeah, I don't understand why anybody doesn't go into a haunted place with 25 cameras in their pocket. I would be dropping cameras all over the place.
Oh, well, absolutely. Well, you can't wonder why people are incredulous as to your evidence when you don't really have that much evidence to begin with. If it's just one shot, definitely. That's always been an issue for me.
Now, let me defend Derek for a moment.
Okay, deviled advocate here.
Some other new stuff. You and I have talked a lot of times about how they seem to, like, give lots of info, but then as soon as it's the advice stuff, or he just tells, like, Mary, Mary, and then they say, what about Mary? And he goes on.
Right.
Right? He never gives advice.
He doesn't.
The reason he doesn't is because the UK has a group. It's Ofcom, the Office of Communications or whatever. They're basically the UK's version of the FCC.
FCC, okay.
The FCC. Ofcom has in their broadcasting code, and I'll read it to you right now, demonstrations of exorcism, the occult, the paranormal, divination, or practices related to any of these, whether such demonstrations purport to be real or are for entertainment purposes only, must not contain life-changing advice directed at individuals. He is a psychic with a television show who is prohibited by law from giving psychic readings.
Wow.
So one of the reasons the show is kind of him running around finding, you know, getting possessed all the time is because simply legally that's all he can do.
That's very interesting.
He can't tell you that you're going to find your boyfriend next week, or he can't tell you that money's coming because he would get in trouble with the Fed.
So that makes sense. You know, I can speak of the past because that person is no longer here for me to affect. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I thought, you know, good Lord, imagine America. Like, what would happen?
Yeah.
We can't have psychic readings on TV because there's the chance, you know.
That's true. That's true.
So, you know, there's another thing. I mean, again, I try and find all the details, but it looks like maybe it's not all his fault or not all the production company's fault. I mean, they're kind of, their hands are tied.
Well,
they can't really do anything. But actually, we'll give Nevin a little workout here. Let's see if we can get some call-ins. Anybody that's listening that wants to make comments, if you're a Derek fan, definitely give me a call.
Oh, yeah.
If you're anti-Derek, give me a call anyway.
Now you started it.
But you can reach us at 1-888-268-4313. That's 888-268-4313. And let's see if we can get some calls in. We've only got about 9 minutes left on the show. But I got to tell you this. We come from America, and like you said, we'll watch the show, and we don't really catch all the little nuances that might show that it's entertainment only.
Right.
Do you know what syrup of figs is?
No.
I had no idea. He goes in episode 3 and starts reading for this guy, and he says, when you were a boy, you know, you were sick, and your mom used to rub something on your chest. And, of course, my mind's going, good Lord, everybody's mom rubs something on their chest. When they, I mean, yeah, could you be any more, you know, non-specific?
Yes.
So then he gets specific, and he says, syrup of figs.
Syrup of figs.
And they're like, syrup of figs, and syrup of figs, and then, oh, syrup of figs. And the guy says, possibly, yeah, maybe. Okay, my little buddy on the Double Exposure website here actually went out and found out what syrup of figs is.
Is it an anagram?
Nope. Syrup of figs is a natural fruit laxative. Why would you rub natural fruit laxative on somebody's chest when they have a cold? I don't think anybody's mom would do
syrup
that.
Syrup of figs.
So well, again, like you said, find out the details and bust
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Don't take it. Yes. Don't take it at face value.
I had no clue. I was going along with it. I'm like, wow, syrup of figs. I wonder if I should get some of that. You know, I have lung problems. But yeah, that's not for the problems.
That's what you get. Folk medicine. That's what you get for. That's interesting. Well, that's
I love it. The guy has a running tally here, and when you get to the end after episode 3, they have a core of 5, reality 14.
Yes.
Plus several bonus points to reality for the syrup.
It's a laxative.
Do we have a caller? We got a beep.
Hi, Reg. This is Chris. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Chris.
I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
You know, talking about, you know, all the scandals and stuff with, you know, people kind of getting busted with the fakeness and stuff of television. What do you think as far as in the paranormal community where, you know, we had recently found out about a friend of ours who has said that there was a group that posed as her group and went into a cemetery and tore kind of done a lot of damage. What do you, can you give any advice as far as what can people do to protect themselves against something like that happening?
Great question. I'll let Jen go first. I have an angry answer, so I'll let her do her.
Okay. Thing. Oh, here we go. You know what? I think, that unfortunately does seem to occur. One thing I think is, each paranormal group, we have our own set of standards that we go by, and other groups seem to, I don't know, there's some type of conflict there. They want to run the show, and they don't like the way you run it and so forth, and I think that creates competition, unfortunately, and it's really sad because the whole point of this, the whole point of all of this is to share this information and to get that one, you know, one step closer to the truth. And by doing this, by perpetuating that type of competitive nature, I don't know that we will ever do that, or not in good time anyway. Yeah, I agree. That's definitely a problem. I don't know, Reg. What do you, I mean, how do you think we counteract
well,
that?
Well, she said, she mentioned specifically people going in and impersonating other groups.
Right.
That's a crime.
Oh, sure.
Plain and simple. I mean, you're representing yourself as some other group, and that's a criminal act. So what can you do? Again, I'll put my disclaimer. I'm not an attorney. This is not legal advice. Sue them. Threaten to sue them. Millions of dollars of punitive damages. Because,
it can't
that's
hurt anything.
Infuriating. And like I said, I have an angry answer, but I hear it a lot. And I can't believe it goes on. And furthermore, I can't believe that people let it go on.
Right.
Because people tell me all the time, well, what can we do? There's nothing we can do. You know, we're poor. We can't afford attorneys. Or then call up your local newspaper and tell them. I mean, that's a good
story
for the
news guys. That's a good point.
That's
a good point.
Thank you. I think that's really good advice.
We want to get the word out.
Right. Or just put it on your website. I mean, you know, the Internet today is such a wonderful tool for that. Especially those who get, you know, a lot of links, or excuse me, a lot of hits. I definitely think that's one of the easiest, fastest ways to do it. You know, it's not,
right.
You're not doing anything wrong. You're defending yourself. Certainly. And
very
you,
good advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You guys
welcome
are doing great, by the way.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's, oh, grr. I'm glad somebody called in about that.
That could
yeah,
be a whole other show.
That's a whole other show.
That's a whole
show
other show.
Impersonating, because, you know, the summer's coming up, so this is going to become a big issue now.
Yeah, it will. It does every year.
Everybody's going to get out investigating, and then, yeah, it'll be... I can't imagine what I would do if I went, like, to a cemetery and somebody said, hey, you were the one that was here and destroyed, you know, vandalism.
Oh, yeah. That's, well, and I think that's another thing. You know, my group, we always... Or I shouldn't say always. We often go to the police and inform them where we're going to be, for that very reason.
And get them.
You know.
Well, Jen, we got a little under 3 minutes left.
Okay.
So time to recap. What did we solve today? We found out about the.
Well, haunted Las Vegas. If you're ever out in Vegas, check out the Flamingo. Check out the Tropicana. See if you can see the purple haze and Bugsy Siegel roaming around the Flamingo Hotel.
Lucy Liberace at the place that I can't pronounce?
Yes, yes.
I'm not Italian. I'm Irish, so yeah, I can't say those words.
I'm Scottish, so I can't help either.
And then, yeah, I think my final position now is that Derek Acora is wonderful for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah.
But I'm not believing that he's got a psychic bone in his body. I think he's a very talented showman.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, I'm the court's still in session on that one for me. I'm not quite sure how to feel about him. Not quite sure.
But watch the show.
Yes,
I,
yeah, judge for yourself.
I'm actually going to watch the next episode because, yeah, I love watching that guy get possessed. It's so much fun.
And watch and make sure you catch Ghost Hunters now on Wednesday nights on Sci-Fi.
That's right. Ghost Hunters has started up.
The Tap.
Lots of paranormal TV. I actually saw that Court TV. Court
yes.
TV now has two psychic shows.
Yep.
But they actually hunt down bad guys, so...
Well, yeah. A little
different,
but...
I'll be curious to
see
if they catch anybody. Wouldn't that be great if all of a sudden America's Most Wanted gets bumped out by, you know, the psychic guys?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need Collins. We'll just go find a guy. You know where he lives.
In this country, anything's possible.
Okay, well, that's this episode of Absolutely Paranormal. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
If you like the show, contact at bbsradio.com. Send them an email and let them know you love us and that we should get a spot. Stay on.
Yes, please do. Please do. And have a
okay,
great weekend.
Well, you have a good trip.
Thank you.
Enjoy
I will.
Enjoy your dinner and
I'll let you know if I find any ghosts.
And look for ghosts. Find a bunch. I want to hear, yeah, give me some pictures of that blue haze. I want
yes.
to see that. Well, thanks, Jen, and thanks, everybody, for listening. And hopefully we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.